The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
The scripture reading for today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 17 through 19. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our heart so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Your holy people held possession for a little while. Our adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. The word of God for the people of God.
As you know, and you've heard it said already this morning, we are in the Advent season. It's a season of longing for the arrival and coming of Christ. God doesn't want us to settle for the temporal, here and now things in life, but he wants us to actively prepare and ready ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so the aim of this longing series is to awaken and cultivate a deeper sense of longing for God by embracing our longings as an invitation from him. The longings that we are tempted to suppress and gratify and ignore, these might just be an invitation from God to pursue him in faith. And so today, as we are in the second Sunday of Advent, our theme, as you may have picked up on, is peace, longing for the peace of God. And peace is often a word that is thrown around. We see it on tie-dyed shirts with a peace symbol, or we see people throwing up the peace sign. I've used the word peace as an ending to my letters and emails for a really long time. And even in Christmas time, it's a theme that we see on Christmas cards, in advertisements, in Christmas songs, sacred songs and pop songs alike. And one song I heard on the way in this morning was John Lennon's Happy Christmas, War is Over. It goes like this: a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. War is over if you want it. War is over now. But when we hear that song, we know that war isn't over, no matter how bad we want it. The world we live in seems to be spiraling out of control more and more. We know that there is no peace out there. Even more so, we know that there's no peace in here, in our own souls, in our own hearts. So this morning, I want us to look at the prophet Isaiah together and explore this theme of peace. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 63 if you haven't already. Just kind of put your finger there as a bookmark and let me tell you a story. This past summer, my family and I were driving to the West Coast, and we found ourselves in the Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. And our destination was actually in Driggs, Idaho, exactly on the opposite side of the mountain range, the Teton Mountain Range. And there were two ways to get there. The first way was through the Teton Pass. It's a slow drive, 25 miles, two-lane highway with no shoulder, so on either side of us was death. The other way would have taken us around the mountain range, 2 hours out of the way, with far less interesting views. Guess which one we took? We took the pass. We took the Teton Pass. There was breathtaking views of mountains and valleys and animals and trees and waterfalls. But I was an inexperienced mountain pass driver, and it made everyone in the vehicle a little nervous. But we made it. We made it to Idaho. It looks like we were really happy to be in Idaho in this picture. We were just really happy to be out of the car. Shake the nerves out. Growth in Christ is kind of like that, isn't it? Most of us start our Christian journey by hoping or assuming that growth in Christ is going to be a smooth highway, but we soon come to find out it's more like driving through a mountain pass. Ups and downs and twists and turns. You wish you could get to your destination faster, but there's always another twist and always another turn. Progress frustrated by another elevation change. I like to call this the slow turmoil of sanctification. And the more we experience that, the longer we experience that, the more we are haunted by that lack of inner peace. Look with me in Isaiah 63, verse 17. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Can you relate to what this text is describing? What the writer is expressing is, God, if you want us to be holy, then why is it so hard? Why do we experience hard-heartedness and wandering? The writer goes far to say to blame God, saying, God, why do you make us wander from your ways? What he's saying is, God, if you wanted to make this a smooth journey, you could. Why has this been so difficult? Why have you made this happen to us? If we were to put this prayer into our words today, it might sound something like this. Why is becoming like Christ such a slow experience? Why do I constantly sin against you, God? Why am I constantly sinning against the other people that I love? Why do I hide my sins in the dark and refuse to repent and live in the light? Why is my worship cold and half-hearted? Why don't you make it easier, God? Throughout the centuries, God's people have felt this lack of inner peace. There's a gap between who we want to be and who we actually are. And closing that gap seems hard and slow and laborious, even discouraging at times. We wrestle with our own inner turmoils and struggles, and so we lack peace. This lack of peace is supposed to make us long for God. It's supposed to make us turn back to God. It's supposed to make us long and cry out and yearn for God. But we've got other ways of dealing with this lack of peace, don't we? Blaise Pascal, a philosopher in the 17th century, said, "Distraction is the only thing that consoles us for our miseries, yet it itself is the greatest of our miseries." He wrote that in the 17th century, without screens and iPhones and all those things. Peter Kreeft, writing and commentating about Blaise Pascal's writing on distraction, says this in this really long quote that will be on the screen. "We want to complexify our lives. We don't have to, we want to. We wanted to be harried and hassled and busy. Unconsciously, we want the very things we complain about. For if we had leisure, we would look at ourselves and listen to our hearts and see the great gaping hole in our hearts and be terrified. Because that hole is so big that nothing but God can fill it. We think we want peace and silence and freedom and leisure, but deep down, we know that this would be unendurable to us, like a dark and empty room without distractions where we would be forced to confront ourselves." If you are typically modern, your life is like a mansion with a terrifying hole right in the middle of the living room floor. So you paper over that hole with a very busy wallpaper pattern to distract yourself. Or you find a rhinoceros in the middle of your house. The rhinoceros is wretchedness and death. How in the world can you hide a rhinoceros? Easy. Cover it with a million mice. Multiple diversions. When I feel this lack of misery in my own soul, or this lack of peace, this misery in my own soul, I too am prone to distraction. Just a few weeks ago, right around Thanksgiving time, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. Immediately, just weighed down with fear and anxiety, Fear about finances, fear about the health and security and safety of my family, fear about the future, the responsibility as a husband and a father. I'd like to say I went to my desk and prayed, woke up my wife, have her pray with me, but I reached for my phone and turned on a podcast in hopes that I would fall asleep, because that's all I wanted. I just wanted to fall asleep. Fear, anxiety, suppression, and distraction. That's a cycle that I find myself in far too often. What is it for you? How do you try to manufacture your own inner peace? Maybe it's overworking. You work long hours. Or maybe you bring work home. Maybe it's Netflix binging or sports entertainment. You just turn it on and forget what's going on in here. Maybe it's another glass of wine or a glass of whiskey before bed to help you sleep without having to think about the things going on in your mind. Can I invite you this morning to engage your longing for peace? To be honest about your inner turmoil? You lack peace, and it's okay. God's people know this feeling very well. And it's not only a lack of inner peace that we experience, we also lack outer peace. When you look around in the world that we live in, it seems that God's people are not winning. It seems like the enemies of God are thriving. Isaiah 63, verse 18. Your holy people held possession for a little while. Our adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. God's people have been attacked by their enemies, by their adversaries. They've come in and destroyed the sanctuary, their place of worship. For nearly 1,400 years, God's people lived in the promised land, though not perfectly. They lived at peace with one another. They lived at peace with God. They experienced the blessings of living within God's covenant promises and the joy of having God's glorious presence with them in the temple in Jerusalem. But as outside geopolitical threats grew, their faith in God lessened. They looked to the nations for military strength, and also they adopted their worship practices of false gods. And as we know, the hearts of God's people wandered, their hearts hardened, and God removed his presence from the temple, allowing the Babylonian army to come in and take them into exile, destroy their homes, and destroy the temple. So in this passage, the writer is crying out for peace. He's lamenting the lack of inner peace. Our hearts are hard. We've wandered from your ways. And he's lamenting the outer peace, the lack of outer peace. Our enemies have destroyed your sanctuary. Now, in our day, we don't have enemies coming in and destroying our places of worship, though in other places around the world that does happen. That form of persecution does happen. But if you are a Christ-loving person, it's easy to feel a growing despair about what's going on in the world. It seems that fewer and fewer people love righteousness. Fewer and fewer people care about God and his ways, and fewer and fewer people have a favorable opinion about Christians. We are not at peace in the world. The turmoil isn't just internal, it is external. Behind the broken systems and oppressive governments and ungodly agendas are spiritual forces of wickedness. They want to undermine the progress of God's kingdom. Ephesians 6 reminds us of that, that our enemies are not flesh and blood. There are real spiritual enemies at work in the world. When faced with growing threats, the Israelites turned to the nations, turned to their false gods of wood and stone. What do you turn to? When you lack peace about what's going on in the world, what do you turn to find peace? Do you long to find peace in material things? This time of year, we bow down at the altar of the shopping center, don't we? The accumulation of more things. But toys break, clothes stain, trends and technologies change, and so we need more. We must have more. Maybe you find peace in self-help or physical fitness. You're aware that there's a lack of peace out there in the world, and so the best that you can do is control your world. Implement the best self-help program or the next best workout or diet. You might be overwhelmed by all the chaos in the world, and so you find peace by just ignoring it. Ignorance is peace. Maybe you long for peace by idolizing politicians or prioritizing political activism. We must get our team elected. We must get our social cause advanced so that our political hopes and social desires can be achieved. But terms change. Terms expire. The laws change. All of this false peace that we run after, that we chase after, runs out. It leaves us empty. It leaves us desiring more. It leaves us needy. Wouldn't it be nice if there was something that could truly satisfy our longing for peace? One of my favorite poems is a Christmas poem, believe it or not. It's called Christmas Bells by the American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It was written in Christmas of 1863 during the American Civil War, but it may be more familiar to you as a Christmas carol called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I'm going to read it for you. It includes verses that aren't in the song, so the poem will be on the screen so you can follow along. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yeah. This poem ends with so much hope. Yet I believe so many of us hear it and frankly say, yeah, right. Wouldn't that be nice? Even for me, this hope rooted in God's promise of peace seems so far off. My head often hangs in despair. My heart wanders with doubt and disbelief, and my hands are ringing with anxiety about the future. But may we consider this morning suspending our disbelief, suspending our lack of hope for peace for just one moment. What if we acknowledged our lack of inner peace and said, yes, the Christian life is hard. I lack inner peace because I've wandered from God in my innermost being. Yes, I lack outer peace because I act in sinful ways to achieve peace apart from God. And the world is so full of sin. The world is so broken. We've got ourselves into a deep mess. And then we cannot get out of it on our own. As we acknowledge these things, what if you were like the hand reaching out of the thorny vines, longing for the Prince of Peace as if he were your only hope? And what if his return, his coming to you, is the only way out of chaos and the only way into the peace of God? This is the hopeful tone in Isaiah 63, verse 17 again. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. He's saying, come back, God. We've wandered so far. We don't even fear you anymore. We haven't kept our promises to you, but return to us. Remember the promises you made to us. You are our only hope. Isaiah is praying for God to return to Israel based on his past promises to Abraham and Isaac and Moses and David. And even in the days of Israel's exile, God promises peace to his longing people. And there are promises today, his promises to us today. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. Flip over to Ezekiel 37. Notice the language of peace. Verse 26. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will set them in their land and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. This covenant of peace that God makes with his people is a straight up answer to their cries. God will return and dwell with them. The sanctuary that has been destroyed will be built up and last forever. How do we know that this covenant of peace will be executed, will be initiated? We have to wait about 500 years in redemptive history, looking at Luke chapter 2. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Why were the angels singing? Why were the shepherds abandoning their flocks and running to Bethlehem to see this baby? Why was King Herod threatened by the Old Testament prophecies about this baby king? It was because God had heard the cries of his people and he returned to them. All of the Old Testament prophecies were coming to fulfillment in this child. People, God has heard your cries. He's heard your longings. Those of you who put your faith in Jesus, your longings of peace are fulfilled in him. Because walking with Jesus feels like driving on a mountain pass with twists and turns, it may be slow and it may be long. this Advent, by the grace of God, may you grow in waiting patiently while eagerly longing for his peace. Even the promises that God have made that hasn't been fully realized yet, they are forever, and they continue to be our hope that fuels our longings today. Isaiah chapter 2. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This isn't a divine gun control policy. This is Jesus creating a new reality, a new heavens and new earth where all peoples will live in a kingdom built on the righteousness and peace of God. We don't have to be preoccupied with self-defense, but actually we can lay down our defenses and exist in the glorious peace of Christ. Another passage that I like to go to fuel my longings for the Prince of Peace is Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is an echo of what we read earlier in Ezekiel 37. God never intended for his glorious presence to just dwell in a building. But Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, dwells within us now by his Holy Spirit. And when he returns, we will dwell with God bodily. We will see him face to face. And on that day, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. The lack of inner peace that you feel, gone. The outer peace in the world that we experience every day, gone. John Lennon was partially right. War is over, but only when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, comes to us. Are you longing for the Prince of Peace to return to you? If so, I want to share with you three ways that you can practice longing for the Prince of Peace. First is to turn away from your sins and ask God to come to you. If you've never put your trust and faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you aren't submitting to his rule, and you're not called by God's name. In other words, you may not be a Christian. And if that's where you're at, I want you to admit that. Be honest about that. But I don't want you to remain there. I want to invite you to consider that today is an invitation to ask Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to rule over your heart. For him to fulfill all of your longings for peace and to trust in him for the salvation from Satan, sin, and death. Second, sit in a dark, quiet room and become aware of your lack of peace. Free from distraction, free from the noise. Prayerfully listen to the anxieties and fears that raise up. Start out slow, maybe 5-10 minutes a day. Build up to 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Something that you could practice in the morning before you begin your day, before you look at your phone, email, talk to people. It could be at night, before bed, before you lay down and all those things come flooding in, keeping you from sleep. Ask questions like, what keeps me up at night? What makes me anxious or angry? What's my biggest fear? And whatever those answers are for you, think about the things that you go to find your own peace apart from God. And maybe this Advent, consider giving up those things, fasting from those things, and practicing trusting in the Lord for peace. Thirdly, and lastly, talk open and honestly with God and pray with others. The passage of scripture that we've been in this morning here in Isaiah, he's praying openly and honestly to God, almost sounding like a psalm where we read God's people requesting of God and demanding him to act on our behalf. It's also a communal prayer. Notice the us language sprinkled throughout. There's nothing better knowing that you have brothers and sisters in Christ praying for you and praying with you, knowing where you're lacking peace, knowing what your greatest need is, and going before God with those requests. So as we head into another week of Advent, may we not be satisfied with leaving here just knowing more about the peace of God or being more self-aware of our lack of peace. But my prayer for you is that we are captivated, that we are captured by the peace of God, that we long for it, that we desire it. As we leave, let's remember God's words in Philippians 4. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning aware of our lack of peace. Our mind might be reeling with things that haunt us, that trouble us, that stir up anxiety and fear. God, I pray that you confront us in all the ways that we seek to distract ourselves and to settle for lesser forms of peace. Confront how we trust in things and in other people for peace. Help us feel the emptiness of those things. Help us feel our need. Capture us with your promises of peace. Help us look to your word, to passages in Isaiah, and places like Revelation, where we get these visions of what ultimate peace in Christ looks like. Help us be captured by those and desire and long for those to experience some of those things today. Comfort us with your peace. Come to us. Come and meet us in the chaos of our souls. And fill us with a peace that goes beyond our understanding. We long for you to return to us. And we pray, come Lord Jesus. Come Prince of Peace. Be near us. Amen.